So we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?' Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, and they said, 'God has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight.' So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers, and the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died." Okay, so that's not exactly what we expect, right? That's certainly not leading up to things, leading up to especially the first few verses. You don't expect such a major defeat. And yet, this is often what happens in our lives. There's a leading up to this. The history, if you read from 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 1, Eli was the high priest, and he was doing things that displeased God, and God had told him that he was going to do something like this. And Eli just kind of took it, really didn't seem to take too much care about what God had said, and then now this came along. And we start out by seeing that the Philistines, who are the enemies of God, whenever you hear the Philistines, they're almost always in a place where they are fighting against the people of God. And this is no different right here. So the Philistines were a people of war, and they are known for their battles with Israel. And here, the thing that's so interesting, and struck me was that it looked like they were going to win. They were all prepared and they were psyched up for a win. Especially when the Ark of God, for those of you who might not know, it was kind of a box. And God had given specific instructions for how to make this box, and it was placed in a place which was called the Holy of Holies, and only one priest once a year was able to go into the place where this box was, because God dwelled in between the two cherubims or angels that were on top of this box. And wherever that ark went was the presence of God. And wherever that ark went, usually it meant bad things for the enemies of Israel. So when it came into the camp, they were all really happy. They were all shouting. They were all thinking, okay, the battle is ours. We're going to win. There's nothing that could stand against us. We have the Ark of God with us. And then all of a sudden, it's a It's a tremendous defeat. And if we step back to our lives, this is often the way we feel. We often feel like we go into something and we might not be thinking it's a war, but we often go into things and we might be surprised by the results that come in our life. We just weren't prepared for such what seems to be like a defeat, whether it's at our job, whether it's in our school, whether it's in our relationships, in our lives. Something happens and we're just not ready for it, and it looks like a great defeat. And we think, well, you know, we were praying and we were good and we were doing everything that seemed right. Why did the defeat come? What happened? We weren't ready for this. We were thinking that we were going to have a smooth sail through this thing. We weren't thinking that something was going to go wrong. How come it went wrong? And very often, we seem surprised by these defeats that come in our life. And God has not promised us that we will never have a problem. God has not promised us that all life will be smooth sailing. Just because we have made a declaration that Jesus is our Lord, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems in our lives. It doesn't mean that we're not going to see failures. It doesn't mean that at all. And often God allows temporary defeats in our lives. God often allows temporary defeats in our lives. He promises us that we will win the war. There are many battles often to a war, and we might lose a battle here and there, but God promises us that we will win the war. We will win in the end. We will be victorious in the end. Whether it is in this life or in the next life, we will win, but we're not promised a win every single time. We're not promised a win through every single battle, and we see that here in the lives of the Israelites. Sometimes we might be surprised as God closes a door. We think that the door was going to be open, and we think that we're going to walk through it, and we think that this is the answer, and then all of a sudden the door is closed. And we're surprised by that. And sometimes God allows that in our lives. We should not be so surprised when something like that happens. But it seems that in our thinking, we think, well, God is so big and He is so big that ever we should be immune from all of the defeats. We should be immune from all that. We should be protected from all of that. But this is certainly not the way the Bible describes the people in the Bible. In fact, you can look at the life of Jesus. You can look at the life of Jesus, and I would say that probably there is almost no one that was looking at the life of Jesus, and when He was crucified, there's probably no one that's seen Him on the cross, hanging there on the cross with a crown of thorns on His head, just been beaten by soldiers, just been whipped, bloody. There's probably not a single person that looked at the cross and said, well, there's a victory. There's probably not a single person that said, can anything good come of this? There's probably not anyone that would look at that situation and say, wow, this is a great and tremendous victory. Because that, and then you look at your own life, and sometimes you look and you step back in the situation and you say, this looks horrible, this looks terrible. And I'm not saying that it's not horrible. I'm not trying to be insensitive at all to the hurting and the suffering that goes on in our lives, because I know it's real and I know it causes pain and I know it's horrible. But often in God's balance, as He balances the scales, He knows how to pull something, a victory, out of what looks like a certain defeat. He knows how to bring a victory out of what looks like an absolute, total defeat. He did it with Jesus. He did it with Jesus on the cross. He took that situation, which looked like it had no good. The disciples were going to be scattered. He was going to be gone. And He turned that into the greatest victory ever seen by anyone in this world since time began. But what it looked like a massive defeat. even to all those who were the so-called Christians at the time. They weren't named Christians at that time, but all of his closest followers said, "This is terrible. This is horrible. Jesus on the cross, this is terrible." We thought for sure he was going to come down. We thought for sure he was going to be our king. We thought for sure the Romans were going to be defeated and we were going to be established as a Jewish kingdom. And then when he didn't, God had a much bigger plan, a much better plan. And we trust the same thing for our lives. That even though it might look bad, and even though things have taken a turn for the worse, we trust that God has a greater plan and a greater good for our lives because He is a God of love and He does care about us. Isn't it amazing? As a side note, isn't it amazing the security that God shows, the how secure He is? He doesn't even mind people thinking that He's lost the battle. Think about it. I mean, we as humans often are so conscious of what other people think of us. I can't let anybody see that I'm weak. I can't let anybody think that something bad has happened to me. I can't let anybody. We're so worried about what people think. And God, he doesn't seem to care so much that people are saying, "Well, Jesus, He's on the cross, and look at what happened to Him. And is He really God? Is He really the Son of God? Is He? All those things. God is so incredibly secure in who He is. He doesn't even mind. It doesn't even seem to factor into His decision-making that Jesus should look defeated. Because He knows the ultimate goal. He knows the ultimate plan. He's not swayed by the thoughts of man. He's not swayed by what men think. His purposes He will accomplish. He will accomplish His purposes. And he is not moved by the things that move us so often. What will people think? What will people say? Can't show myself as weak. Come on, you've been there. Something's horrible going on in your life. Something terrible's happening. Problems all over the place. Somebody comes up to, "How you doing?" "Great." "No, you're not. No, you're not at all. But you just don't want to show that you don't want to show any weakness." "No, okay, sure, maybe people aren't really waiting for an answer that it's anything but that. But still, you probably say that anyway. Even if a person was showing genuine concern, "How you doing?" "Great." "No, not really." But we just are so conscious of what other people think. God doesn't have that issue in His life. I want you to turn, if you have your Bible, or Dave will put it up there for us. It's 1 Samuel chapter 5. Because the story doesn't end there. The story is just midway through with this great defeat. 1 Samuel chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 1. And we're going to read a few verses here. It says this is kind of a continuation. There's a bunch of verses. This is the continuation of really of where we left off. It says, "Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod." Ashdod is one of the Philistine cities. There's five cities. "And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon." Dagon was the Philistine god. "And set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and they set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any of who come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod. And he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. When the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh towards us and our God Dagon." Isn't it interesting? God allows himself to be captured, but he's still the one in control. He allows sometimes temporary defeats, but he's still in control. He allows things to look bad, or he allows things to get to a place where they might be bad, but it's not like he's not up in heaven wringing his hands saying, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do now?" He is in control. He's the one. It's not Dagon. It's not some other god. It's not the devil. It's not. There is not control in their hands. The control is in God's hands. And even though he's captive, even though he's taken by their the enemy and put in a place where the ark doesn't belong, he is the one that's calling the shots. Dagon is going to fall. Dagon is going to have his face bow before our God. Dagon is going to have his head chopped off before our God. He's going to bow to the ark. His hands are going to be cut off. He's not in control. And in the end, and after a while, the people of the Philistines, they say, "Wow, this ark has to go. This ark has to go. It can't stay here. He's ravaged. He's killing us." And in fact, they say that, "We got to get this out of here. He's killing us." And what's so amazing to me is they don't submit to God. They don't say, "Well, our God is so inferior. Why not trade up? You know, go to a God that actually can do something." Instead of doing that, they say, "No, we got to get this better God out of here." I can't even understand that kind of thinking. Which says, instead of me going to God's side and submitting to God, let me stick with my plan. Let me stick with what I'm doing and go with what I've always thought is right. And here they are under the hand of God's wrath, because God is in control, and they don't submit to him. So why does God do this sometimes? God allows these defeats to come into our lives for various purposes. And it's not going to be a satisfying answer all the way around. It's not going to be an answer that answers all of your questions. These are things that have been pondered by people for millennia. But sometimes God allows us to go through difficult things because he is refining our character. Sometimes when things are, and you know, when things are good, when things are going all well in every place, sometimes we forget to call out to God. Sometimes the intensity of our prayers is a little less. Sometimes our tendency is to take life a little easier when things aren't so difficult. But as soon as the difficulty comes in, we're on our knees. We're searching through the Bible for any little crumb that will give us a word of direction, a word of encouragement. And God allows some of these things into our lives because he's trying to refine our character. In God's economy, there's a place in Revelation chapter 5, and I've talked about this in the past. There's the setup of this is that in heaven there's God on the throne, and it talks about the Lamb of God there as well, and God on the throne has a scroll, and the scroll in his hands, there's an angel which proclaims, "Is there anybody in heaven or on earth or under the earth that is worthy to open the scroll?" And they look around all of heaven, all of earth, all under it. That's right. Is anyone able to loose the seals? And they find no one. And they find no one. And then the Lamb of God appears. The Lamb of God appears. And he goes and he takes the scroll. And then after he takes the scroll, they say something very interesting. They say this. And as long as you got it, Dave, we could go to verse number 9. of that chapter, 5:9. It says this, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." So when we think about it, when we think about this, it says he was found worthy because he was slain. Because of that victory, because of what looked like a defeat. What looked like a defeat. What looked like for sure a loss. And Jesus took it, and Jesus came through it, and Jesus trusted God through all of that. Because of all of that, because he was slain, he was now found worthy. Because he went through that loss and still remained trusting in God, he was found worthy. So the greatest loss that we can take, and we come through it shining for God, showing others that we're going to continue to trust in God, we're going to continue to keep our eyes on him, we're not going to be swayed, we're not going to be cut off at the knees. We're going to continue to keep our trust in God through what looks like a defeat. In God's eyes, we become more worthy. And he looks at us and says, "This is what I'm looking for. People that are committed to me, even though they don't necessarily see why they must go through things." It shows that we love him. It shows that we care for him. It shows that we trust in him. We sang that song today. Blessed be the name, not only in the good place, but also in the desert place. In the desert place where it doesn't look good at all, blessed be your name. And that's what Jesus shows. Part of his example is he is worthy because he was willing to suffer that loss, suffer that defeat. And it's no different for us in God's economy, in God's scales as well. So when we go through something difficult, we have an opportunity to show God. We have an opportunity to show God how much we care for him, how much we are going to hold on to everything that he is and who he is in our life. And there are many times as we've gone through difficulties, you know, that there's very often a side to it that we might never have seen, that God works his purposes through those difficulties. You might be in a place. You might have a sickness or something, and you end up going to the doctor, and you end up talking to a whole bunch of people about Christ. It might be a job, and you're transferred or you're moved or something happens, and then you meet new people, and you're exposed to different things, and you have an influence on their lives. God could bring about something good when it doesn't look like there can be any good. God knows and has a purpose. God has a way of knowing exactly how to position you for things that you can't even see, because he is at a place of seeing it all, even though it looks to us like things are not going so good. And God is able to get, he is able to get glory even through defeats. He is able to get glory for himself if we let him. Even through defeats. Because sometimes even if there's not an answer that comes the way we want it, if we shine in this world the way the world doesn't understand that. If you're able to take difficulties and you're able to still hold on to God and show that you still love him even though you don't understand everything, God gets glory through that. God is magnified through that. The world looks at us and say, "Why? There must be something to this God that they can do that." And God has a way of getting glory through us. Even through the most difficult things. Worship team, would you come on up? We're almost done. We have to remember that in the long run, even though we might lose a battle, that the defeat is temporary. The defeat is temporary. In God's way of doing things, we know the end. We know the outcome. We know He will win. We know we are with Him, and so we will win too. We know that the outcome will be good. Whether it's here on this earth or in eternity, God will win. And if we remain faithful to Him, we will win too. We will come out ahead. We will be the ones that shine. The Bible says it, shine like the brightness of the firmament. That could be us. That will be us. That's what God wants from us, to shine like the brightness of the firmament in a dark world. And while we wait, sometimes you just have to hold on to the altar. Sometimes you just have to hold on to the altar. There's one or two places in the Old Testament where people get in trouble and they run to the altar and they just hold on. They just hold on. It says, the Bible says, they hold on to the horns of the altar. Sometimes we got to do that. Sometimes we just got to grab hold of the altar and ride it out. Hold on and trust God. We're holding on to the horns of the altar because we trust Him, because we know His character, and we know He has something good for us. Even though we might not understand it, we believe He has something good. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He has a good purpose. It's to bring you to a good end. And He says, and we hold on to the horns of the altar, and we draw close to Him. We draw close. We draw close in those times. Instead of drawing away, we draw closer to Him. And we show Him how dependent we are with each and every day, because He knows how to bring victories out of what looks like certain defeats. Hold on. Hold on while God is still in the process. Keep believing, keep trusting, and see what He will do in your life. His name be praised.